Mark chapter 5, verse 25. There it is. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." What did the woman with the issue of blood say? She said, "If I touch his clothes, I will be made well." Did she say, "Oh, I believe in divine healing"? Did she say, "Oh, it must be the will of God to heal people"?
No.
Those things are all true. You know, it's good to believe in divine healing, and it's good to have a revelation that it's God's will. It's the will of God to heal people. Did she say, "Jesus heals the sick"? Is that what she said?
No.
What did she say? No, she said, if I touch his clothes, if only I may touch his clothes, then I will be made well. What did she do? She made this thing personal. She made it personal. And because of that, she got results. And we see the results in verse 34. And he, Jesus, said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." What made her well?
Her faith.
Her faith. He said, "Daughter, your faith has made you well."
Yeah.
Praise God. And in order for us to be made well and to stay well, we're going to have to make it personal.
Amen.
And so the title today, by the way, if you're making notes and do such things, the title, I couldn't come up with anything better. I just called it "More About Healing." Okay, so we've been talking about healing here. Well, here's some more, all right? Here's some more stuff. I started to say more stuff about healing, and I thought, yeah, we'll just call it "More About Healing," all right? More stuff about healing, all right? And so number one, if we're going to be healed and walk in health, we have to make it personal. We can't just say, and you have to get to that point where you say, "Okay, I know it's the will of God for all people to be healed. I know that Jesus still heals the sick. I know that God still does that." You have to have that knowledge and that understanding. But then we have to take it a step further, and we have to make it personal, and we have to say something like the woman with the issue of blood says, "If I touch his clothes, I will be made well." Amen. It has to become personal with us. We have to identify with it on that level, not just that, okay, healing is real and God heals and God, it's the will of God to heal. If I touch his clothes, I'll be made well. Because that's where the devil, you know, you can believe, and a lot of people can even take that step and say, "Okay, I know it's the will of God to heal," but still the devil fights us and, yeah, and God wants you well. Because the devil will always come along and say, "Yeah, but it's probably not going to happen for you. Yeah, but you know, you remember you messed up, you know, last month. And yeah, I remember, but yeah, you remember, you know, you had a little doubt there." You know, and he always tries to find a way to exclude us. Amen. But we have to push through that, and we have to make it personal and say, "You know what, if I touch his clothes, I'll be made well. He did it for me. It belongs to me." Praise God. Amen. Praise God. The leper did that as well in Mark chapter 1, verse 40. We could look at many, many examples, but we'll just look at a couple on this point. Same thing with the leper here. Mark chapter 1, verse 40, it says, "Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.'" If you're willing, you can make me clean. What was he doing? He was making the healing power of God, he was making it personal. He's saying, "Jesus, I know you have the power to heal, and I need to find out one thing. I need to get one answer from you. Are you willing? Because if you're willing, you can make me clean." He didn't just say, "Okay, God is willing to heal people." He said, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." He made it. That's not selfish. It's not selfish to make it personal. It's all right to do that. Amen. It's all right to be like the woman with the issue of blood, working her way through the crowd saying, "Get out of my way. I'm getting to Jesus." Now, in general, don't do that when you're in the checkout line at Walmart. Like I read a quote the other day. Apparently it was credited to Mark Hankins, and it sounds like something he said. You have to go after the Word of God. You have to go after the blessings of God like the third monkey trying to get onto the ark. Amen. Think about that for a minute. There's only room for two. Right? Well, the good news is about this is there's not a limited number, there's not a limited amount of God's healing power. We have to make it personal, but there's plenty to go around. Yeah. You know, getting yours doesn't mean somebody else is going to do without theirs. Right? Amen. All right, there's plenty to go around. And so the leper says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Verse 41, then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Amen. Praise God. You know, it's the same way with salvation. We have to make salvation personal, don't we? It's not just enough to believe, well, I believe in God, preacher. Well, that's great. The Bible says even the demons believe and tremble. I believe in God. Or it's not even enough to say, you know, well, the Bible says God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. It has to become personal. Yeah. We have to personally receive Jesus as our Savior and our Lord individually. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Praise God. It, you know, like Paul said in Romans chapter 10, he said, the word's near you. It's in your mouth and it's in your heart. The word of faith that we preach, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord, he said in verse 13, shall be saved. We have to make it personal. Amen. We have to personally receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. God doesn't have any grandchildren, right? Amen. We have to receive him individually. I'm not going to heaven because of what my mama did or my daddy did. I'm going to heaven because I received Jesus personally as my Lord and Savior, right? And we can personally receive Jesus as our healer as well, individually. I shared with you some time back, I think it was the beginning of 2022, we had these out on the information table. This is from Brother Hagin's Health Food that we refer to, and we're going to be referring to during this series, obviously. But this is a story that he related in there, and I'll just read it to you. It says, while pastoring a full gospel church in North Central Texas, I visited a dear woman and her husband in their home in the country. They had several children and many acres of farmland. They were wonderful people. Sister Foster had a Methodist background. She said to me, you know, Brother Hagin, my grandmother lived with us right in this very house. I remember the time someone came to town, rented a store building, and had a meeting there. Grandma was 93 years old then. My husband and I went to the meeting, and I came back and told Grandma about it. She said, sounds like old-fashioned Methodism to me. She encouraged us to go back. We went back, and the man announced that he was going to have a healing service. He was going to lay... Methodist, think about that. He was going to lay hands on the sick and anoint them with oil, according to James 5:14. He said that the Lord still heals the sick today, as he did in days gone by. I thought to myself, I'll tell Grandma about that, and she won't want us to go back. I didn't want to go back anyway. The next day, I told Grandma about it. She said, you must go hear him. 40 years ago, in our Methodist church, a man came along preaching healing. He had everyone come down front and accept Christ as their healer, just as we accepted him as our Savior. I went down there and accepted Christ as my healer. Do you remember me ever being sick in the last 40 years? I said, No, this is the daughter or granddaughter. I said, no, I just always thought you had a strong constitution. She said, no, I accepted Christ as my healer and I haven't been sick in 40 years. In fact, I'll have you know that I'm going to live and die without having sickness and disease in my body. So, well, how are you going to die then? Well, you just decide. If you get ready to go, you just decide, I'm going to go home and be with the Lord. Yep. You don't have to have sickness and disease take you out. Amen. She said, I'm going to live and die without having sickness or disease in my body. You both go back and hear that. They listened to Grandma. They went back and got filled with the Holy Ghost. All right. Next day, this is over 2 days. It's a lot of times the health foods are to be continued, aren't they, Rita? At 94 years of age, Sister Foster's grandmother insisted on making up her own bed and sweeping her own floor. She also washed, friend, you still do that, right? All right, praise God. All right. She also washed the breakfast dishes while Sister Foster cleaned up the rest of the house. They had a big house with lots of kids, about 8 children altogether. At 94, she was washing the dishes and cleaning up the kitchen. She was still very alert. Each morning at about 10 a.m., they would be done with the cleaning, so they would go into the sewing room. Sister Foster would darn socks and patch overalls. A different time, wasn't it? While Grandma would read the Bible to her. But one day at the breakfast table, Grandma said, I'm going home today. Mr. Foster, who wasn't saved then, said, well, this is your home. They thought she was getting old and senile. After the kitchen was cleaned, Grandma went into the sewing room with her Bible. Sister Foster sewed some of the boys' overalls while Grandma read to her. Grandma read the 21st and 22nd chapters of Revelation. She read about heaven. Then she said, I told you I was going home today. There's Jesus. Woo! Glory! I'm going. Goodbye. And she left her body and went home to be with Jesus at the age of 94. Wow. Without sickness and disease, because 40 years before, what'd she do? She made it personal. She accepted Christ as her healer, just as she accepted Him as her Savior. I would recommend us doing the same. Amen. Praise God. All right. That's point number one. Make it personal. Make it personal. Point number two today. More stuff about healing. Point number two. Remove yourself from an atmosphere of unbelief. Remove yourself from an atmosphere. What we're talking about walking in healing, receiving our healing, and keeping our healing and walking in health. In order to do that, number one, we're going to have to make it personal. And then number two, you may find yourself in your situation, you may have to remove yourself from an atmosphere of unbelief. Now, the first atmosphere of unbelief you may need to work on is yourself. Amen. If you're speaking negatively, if you're thinking negatively, if you're thinking and speaking in unbelief, that's the first atmosphere of unbelief that you're going to have to deal with. And that's why you're going to have to sow the Word of God into your heart. You're going to have to renew your mind with the Word of God. And you're going to have to think according to God, the way that God thinks and the way that according to what God's Word says concerning your health and healing, instead of speaking negatively and talking negatively about your situation and condition all the time. You're going to have to begin to say what God says about your situation and create around yourself an atmosphere of faith. But then beyond that, then let's look at some scripture that deals with this. In Mark chapter 8, verse 22, it says, then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So look at what Jesus did, verse 23. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, are you sure you want Jesus to minister to you? Well, if I could have just been around when Jesus was walking the earth, I know that I could. He may have spit on your eyes. Another place, he spit and touched a man's tongue. Another time, he spit into the dirt And he made clay with the saliva. And then he anointed the man's eyes with that mixture that he just made and told him, go wash in the pool of Siloam.
Yep.
All right. So he spit on his eyes and he put his hands on him and he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and he said, I see men like trees walking. Well, that may be all right if you're in the Lord of the Rings movie, but in real life, that's not supposed to happen. Okay. All right. Verse 25, then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up, and he was restored and saw everyone clearly. So here's a case where Jesus actually ministered a second time to an individual. And there are times where the Lord may lead someone to do that. All right. So here's the scriptural precedent for that. And so when Jesus put his hands on his eyes that second time, made him look up, he said he saw everything clearly then. Verse 26, then he sent him away. So what did he do? First thing, he led him out of the town in order to minister to him, right? Took him by the hand, led him out of the town, then ministered to him. And then he tells him after he's healed now, in verse 26, then he sent him away to his house saying, neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town. Why did he do that? Because Jesus, I believe that Jesus had learned from his experience in his hometown of Nazareth now that an atmosphere of unbelief could limit him. That's why he took him out of the town to minister to him. Because remember, the Bible says in Mark chapter 6 that when Jesus went to his hometown of Nazareth, it says that he could there do no mighty works, except he laid his hands on a few sick people. All right. This is Mark chapter 8, so if it's written chronologically, this is after Mark chapter 6, where that happened. Jesus realized that he was limited by the people's unbelief and that the atmosphere of unbelief in his hometown limited what he could do. So he brings the man out of the town, ministers to him, the man gets healed, and Jesus said, now don't go back into town and don't tell anybody in the town. Why? Because I believe Jesus knew and understood that going back into that atmosphere of unbelief, those folks could talk that man out of his healing.
Amen.
Healing can be lost.
Yes.
You know, Brother Hagin talked about during the great healing revival in the late 40s on through the end of the 1950s. You know, there was a move of divine healing on people like Oral Roberts. William Branham, Jack Coe were some of the more prominent ones. They all had big tents and healing crusades. And Brother Hagin the Lord led him just to stay in the churches. People would prophesy to him, you need to get a tent. And he knew God hadn't spoken to him about doing that. So God said, stay in the churches and teach the people how to keep what they've received. And he would do that. He would follow along. And he said sometimes he'd go into towns where one of the big crusades had been. And it had been a few weeks after the crusade, and some of the folks had been legitimately healed. You say, well, if they're really healed, won't they keep their healing? No, not necessarily, because remember, the devil's always going to come back and try to steal what God gives us.
Amen.
Amen. And he said there'd be people that weeks ago had been healed maybe one of Oral Roberts' crusades, and they're in that church that Brother Hagin is ministering, and they've lost their healing already. After a few weeks, well, God led him to teach people faith, teach people the word and how to receive their healing and how to maintain it and hold on to it. In fact, there's a little book, I think I've referenced it during this series, a little book that he wrote, How to Keep Your Healing. Amen. Well, that's what he's telling this man. He said, don't go back into that atmosphere of unbelief because they'll try to talk you out of it. They'll try to talk you out of your healing. They'll try to talk you out of maybe not on purpose, but this, if it's an atmosphere of unbelief, then they don't know, they've not been taught any better. They're going to say, well, you know, you got any pain? Yeah, Brother Hagin, after he was healed, the devil attacked him, brought those same symptoms back on him a few times. And he had enough discernment and spiritual knowledge to say, no, you don't, devil. I've been healed. I'm going to keep my healing. You're not taking it away from me. Amen. And we can do the same. Amen. We can keep our healing. Amen. But to do that, we've got to remove ourselves from an atmosphere of unbelief. Now, I realize, you know, that you have situations where maybe you're, you know, your work and things like that, and out in the real world where you're going to contact and run across people. And I'm not telling you to quit your job. Well, Pastor, I just need to quit my job so I can just work among Christians all day long. You might find some of the worst unbelief among Christians, to be honest with you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So I'm not telling you to do that, and I'm not telling you to, you know, get all defensive and you know, like these woke college kids that have to have their safe space, you know. If anybody brings any kind of idea that's contrary to what they've been brainwashed in, it's, oh, I can't hear that, you know. So it's not, I'm not telling you to react like that, but I am telling you that we need to guard the atmosphere around us as best we can and create an atmosphere of faith around us. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Here's another example in Luke chapter 8, verse 51. This is when he's going to Jairus' house to raise Jairus' daughter from the dead. Remember that account? Okay. Verse 51, it says, when he came into the house, or they've already told him, they're on the way back to Jesus. Jairus comes to Jesus, says, my daughter's at the point of death. If you come and lay your hands on her, she'll be healed. She'll live. While they're on the way, they're met with messengers that said, don't bother the teacher anymore. Your daughter's dead. Jesus grabs Jairus by the collar and says, look at me. And he says, don't be afraid. Only believe. All right. And so they're on the way. Then this has all happened. So they get to the house. When he came into the house, look at this now. He permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her. But he said, do not weep. She's not dead, but sleeping. Well, was she dead? She was dead, right? Physically. As a matter of fact, naturally, she was dead. But sleep, death is a permanent condition. Sleep is temporary.
Amen.
In other words, Jesus was saying this condition is temporary, right? She's not dead, but sleeping. Verse 53, and they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. They did what? They started laughing at him. They ridiculed him, all right? Well, that's not an atmosphere of faith, is it? If are the others there, these people that are ridiculing him, are they in faith? Obviously not if they're ridiculing Jesus, right? And so what does he do? He says, well, verse 54, it says, but he put them all outside. He put them, what is he doing? He's ridding the room of unbelief. He put them all outside, took her by the hand, called her and called by the hand and called, saying, little girl, arise. Then her spirit returned and she arose immediately, commanded that she be given something to eat. So he knew that he had to get rid of that atmosphere of unbelief if the girl was going to be raised up. Amen?
Amen.
And so again, we need to recognize that in our own lives and rid ourselves from an atmosphere of unbelief if we're going to receive our healing and walk in health. Amen. And the good thing is this, is that as a church body, what we can do is we can create an atmosphere of faith.
Amen.
And expectation.
Amen.
Amen. To where it's easy for folks to receive their healing in our midst. Because we're all coming with an expectation. We're all coming in faith. We're all coming believing the Word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. We can create that as a church. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. And then number three, my last point this morning, is this. Follow God's wisdom and leading. Number one, make it personal. You know, if I touch his clothes, I'll be made whole. It has to be personal with us. Number two, rid ourselves from an atmosphere of unbelief. And then number three, to walk in health and healing, follow God's wisdom and follow God's leading. James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So if we lack what?
Wisdom.
Then what does James tell us to do? Ask of God, and James says, and it will be given to him. It will be given to him. Amen. God will give us wisdom if we ask him for it in faith. Wisdom in every area of our life, including our physical health.
Amen.
Amen. And we know, we're just going to look at just a few scriptures, but I would encourage you, and I've actually done messages on this in the past, about just looking at all the verses in the book of Proverbs that talk about health and healing and long life. There's a lot of them. There's a lot. We're going to look at just a few. But the book of Proverbs is filled with wisdom that we can apply in order to be healed and walk in health. Praise God. Proverbs 3, verse number 7. He says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." Verse 8 says it, the action of doing that, not being wise in your own eyes. Well, what is that? That's humility, right? Instead of pride, the opposite of pride. Okay. And then fearing the Lord, departing from evil, that action, that attitude of heart, it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Amen. So doing that, doing verse 7 will produce the result in verse 8, health to our flesh and strength to our bones. Amen. We know Proverbs 4, 20 through 22. I won't reference or read that one today, just reference it, where he says, "Attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for their life to those who find them, and health, medicine to all their flesh." Proverbs 9, we'll go to there. Again, this is just a condensed list this morning. Proverbs 9, verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." So where does wisdom start? Starts with the fear of the Lord. Now, what is the fear of the Lord? It doesn't mean being afraid of God. But it means having a reverence and having a respect for Him. Well, if I respect God, if I have a reverence for Him, one way that I show that respect and reverence is to what? It's to believe His word. A sign of disrespect is to disbelieve someone's word, isn't it? Someone tells you something, and then you go and do the opposite. Or you say, "Well, yeah, thank you for telling me that, but I'm going to go do the opposite." You've just disrespected them, first of, especially if you've gone and asked them for advice. You know? All right? And so to respect and to reverence God means to receive His word. Amen? Amen. To believe His word and put that first place. Amen. So it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me being wisdom, the wisdom of God, for by me, by the wisdom of God, your what?
Days.
Your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you."
Yeah.
Praise God. You know, somebody said, "Well, we've all got an appointed time to die, and you know, you're going to die when you know." The Bible doesn't say that. It says it's appointed unto man to die once.
That's right.
You know, should Jesus tarry, we're all going to die, but you can set the appointment.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
You know, when I go to the dentist, they always, you know, they give me my little goodie bag of, you know, a toothbrush and the little thing of toothpaste and dental floss and all of that. And then they say, "And by the way, we'll go ahead and set up your next appointment." And they don't just tell me when it's going to be. They say, "When would you like to come?"
Oh boy.
Right?
Yes.
"When's good? Well, let me check and see what's good for me." You know, you can do that. You can do that in this case. "Well, let me check and see what's good for me." Now, the Bible says with long life, He'll satisfy me and show me His salvation. So I think I'll wait till I get satisfied.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. He says, "By me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you." Praise God. Proverbs 14, verse 30. Let's look at that one.
Yeah.
And Clint, you can come on up and begin to play. Proverbs 14, 30. "A peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. Jealousy is like cancer in the bones." Well, that's some wisdom that we need to follow right there, isn't it? Keeping our heart at peace, keeping a peaceful heart, not allowing ourselves to be all agitated and all worked up, right? A peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. And he says jealousy, if we have envy, jealousy, unforgiveness, all those things, he said, it's like cancer in the bones. And so we need to pay attention to these things as well, right? Amen. Proverbs 17:22, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. Praise God. Now, we all have things in life, and if we focus on the wrong things, we could stay depressed and discouraged and upset all the time, right? That's why a lot of times it's good, again, like we've talked about, to turn off the news, sometimes, right? Yeah. Things like that. Well, and keep a cheerful heart. Because a cheerful heart is good medicine. Yes, amen. King James says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Yeah. But a broken spirit dries the bones. Or in the New Living, it says, a broken spirit saps a person's strength. Yeah. You notice that if you start thinking negatively and get all in a negative mindset, hey, this man, it just weighs you down. It makes you feel tired physically, right? But a cheerful heart is good medicine. Amen. Hallelujah. Now let's go to the New Testament. We'll conclude with this. I've been wanting to preach from this verse for a long time, and I finally found a place where it fits today. I don't know if you knew this was in the Bible. 1 Timothy 5, verse 23. Now, you may be thinking one thing, but I'm going to help you here. Paul is writing to Timothy, writing instructions to Timothy regarding church administration, regarding pastoral ministry, regarding leading the people of God. And in the middle of it, he gives him a piece of personal advice for his own health and well-being. And there's really a lot of revelation here. There really is. 1 Timothy 5:23, he says, no longer drink only water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake and your frequent infirmities. So let's think about what he's telling him here. All right. So notice one thing. Paul has to encourage him to do this. Why? He says no longer drink only water. He said, but Timothy, it would be all right to use a little wine, a little. Everybody say a little. All right. To use a little wine for your stomach's sake and your frequent infirmities. Obviously, this infers that Timothy had made a commitment to drink only water and to not drink wine. If Paul has to come along and encourage him, right? Okay. And evidently, as with the case with me and many of us, I'm assuming, as a matter of conscience, Timothy said, I'm not going to drink alcohol. I'm not going to drink wine because I don't want to make other people stumble. Because Paul wrote this in Romans 14 and 21. He says this, he said, it is good neither to eat meat, nor drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Now, some of you are thinking, well, Pastor, I'm okay on the not drinking wine part, but don't eat meat. Well, things are different today in that the meat that he was talking about there was meat that had been sacrificed to idols and then sold in the meat market. You know, when I go into the grocery store and I get that package of ground beef, then I don't have to read on the label, this was produced, you know, through the idol sacrifice. That's not an issue anymore. All right? So that's not an issue regarding the eating the meat. But the drinking of the wine could be because you don't want to make someone stumble. That's why I don't drink. I don't drink alcohol. Not that I see it's totally forbidden in Scripture, but because I see that I don't want to make someone stumble. All right? If someone that has battled alcohol addiction and has gotten free, walks into a restaurant and sees me drinking, they're going to say, oh, well, if it's all right for Pastor to drink, then maybe I can. And cause them to go back down into bondage? No, I'm not going to do that. Amen? And I'm kind of like that one. There's one, I happened to hear it on the radio this week. I listen to the sports talk station, and there was one guy that I think is a former NFL player, Brian McSpadden. They were interviewing him, and he had made this deal that if such and such happens, then he doesn't drink either. He said, "Well, if such and such happens," he says, I'll drink a shot." And so he kept his word, and he drank a shot of something. He said, "I don't know how you people drink." He said, "Alcohol is that's the nastiest stuff." So I'm kind of like that too, in regard to that. But anyway, point being, so. Timothy's made a commitment as a matter of conscience. He's not going to drink alcohol. But Paul said, okay, he's going to drink water. Paul says, you know, because of your frequent infirmities, he said, it would be all right for you to drink a little wine for your stomach's sake. All right. In order to, it's probably what you need to clear up the frequent stomach infirmities that you've been having. Now, here's another side to this as well. Did the Apostle Paul believe in divine healing? Yeah. He obviously did. Why didn't he just tell Timothy, just have faith. Just have more faith. Just believe God, Timothy. Should we believe God for our healing? Absolutely. But sometimes God gives us wisdom and leads us to make some adjustments in the natural that will help facilitate our healing. Amen? And maybe some adjustments in our diet or in order to correct a condition in our body. And that's what we see right here. Yeah, Paul believed in healing. Yeah, Timothy believed in healing. But there was a natural correction that he could make in his case by drinking a little wine. Now, don't go out of here saying, oh, pastor told us it's all right to drink. Let's go, let's go belly up to the bar today. No, I'm not saying that, right? Again, he told him a little, and it was something that he needed to do. He didn't say drink a little wine so you can fit in with the cool Christians that are out there drinking these days. No, it was to correct a physical condition that he had, all right? Well, could that be the case today, that there's some things in the natural that we can do to facilitate our healing? Absolutely. I want to share with you a personal testimony. And in fact, it's interesting. I had planned to, share this last week and kind of change the message around a little bit, though. This is better than what it would have been if I'd have shared it last week, really. But I was planning on sharing this part of this testimony, and someone actually asked me about it this week. But beginning in when I was a junior in high school, I started having these horrible headaches, and I don't know if they're migraines, sinus. I never have figured out exactly what they are exactly. I would get the blurred vision and get just horrible, horrible pain, this debilitating headache. Most of the time be accompanied, I would get so sick and nauseated that I would end up throwing up. Some of you are nodding your head like you've had these. And so it seemed like I would have one. The first one I remember having was toward the end of my junior year in high school. And I would not usually have more than one a year like this, but they continued on from 1978 to 1993. That's 15, 16 years. And, I remember the last one that I had there in 1993. I was dropping my kids off at school, and then I was planning to go on down to, they went to school in Oakwood, and I was going to drive on down to Buford to visit a church member that was very ill. I was going to go pray for them and minister to them. And as I was driving the kids to school, one of these headaches hit me. And it just was horrible, just, the blurred vision and all of that. And, of course, I mean, I've been pastoring 5 years by this time. And before that, of course, knew about divine healing. And I just, something rose up in me that day, and I said, no, in the name of Jesus, I'm not going to have this. And I remember standing on Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And so I said, no, in the name of Jesus, I resist this. I'm not going to have this. And it was just starting to come on as I dropped the kids off. And usually it got so bad, I'm thinking, I need to turn around and go home right now would have been my natural thought. I said, no, I need to go visit this family And no, you don't, devil. In the name of Jesus, I refuse to have this. I drop the kids off. I start down the road. I'm claiming my healing, claiming Galatians 3:13. The devil said, you're going to get down there and somebody's going to have to come get you and drive you home, you know, bring you home. And but as I drove down the road and before I got down to Buford to visit the thing left. First time it had ever left. First time that it went on the onset of it, you know, and I'd experienced them before every year and I knew what was coming, you know, but it left. It lifted off of me. Praise God. And for 15 years, I was free. From 1993 to 2008, I never had another headache like that. 15 years free. But then in 2008, another one came upon me. July of 2008, it was so severe, I ended up going to the emergency room. And just horrible pain. And they did a scan to make sure there wasn't a tumor or something. They did a scan and they looked at my brain and there was nothing there. And so praise God. What are you laughing at? All right. So 2008, that hit, and it seemed like that every year, and sometimes even more frequently, those headaches came back. And I tried to stand against them, but didn't seem to be successful. And they began to be, in recent years, began to be more frequently, up until about 3 years ago. This was probably 2019 or maybe 2020, at the very beginning of the year. I remember on consecutive every other Wednesday. So it'd be like one Wednesday, then not the next, then the next Wednesday, then not the next, then the next Wednesday for three Wednesdays in a row like that. Every other Wednesday, coming in here right before service. And getting hit with those headaches, three of them. Now, as they became more frequent, they were not always as severe. Sometimes they were very severe like that, but sometimes they were not quite as severe, but still debilitating, still very, very painful. And so in this case, the Lord began to deal with me about making some changes in my diet. Number one, I know, no audible voice, but I just kept sensing, I need to drink more water. I need to drink more water. And so I started drinking more water. And then the second thing was I knew I don't drink coffee. So I would usually drink instead of coffee, but I still like some caffeine to help wake me up in the morning. I would drink a Diet Dr. Pepper. And so the Lord, does that sound nasty to you? And so, or good to you? Okay, well, you do what the Lord tells you to do. I'm telling you what worked for me, okay? All right. Now, again, this is what worked for me. I'm not giving you medical advice. I'm telling you what the Lord told me to do. Number one, drink more water. And then number two, stop drinking diet sodas. All right? And you know, I did that, and it corrected it. I've had a couple of times where they've tried to come on me just a little bit, but then they've lifted. They've not been severe at all. And so, again, for almost 3 years now, I've been free again. And glory to God, it's been good to be free. But again, in this case, there was a natural correction that I needed to make, like Paul told Timothy. So like Paul told Timothy, the Lord led me, I need to start drinking more. But water. In my case, I need to drink more water. Now, again, don't go out of here saying, Pastor told us that we should start drinking. No, I'm not saying that. You're totally missing the point if you go out of here thinking that, all right? By the way, I did read something the other day that the alcohol content of wine in biblical times was a lot less than what it is today, actually. So if that means anything for you and your lifestyle. So, all right. I want to close with this. Just reading just a little bit out of, some good counsel from Brother Charles Capps out of God's Creative Power for Healing. God's word is spoken of in Proverbs 4:22 as being medicine to all our flesh. It is the most powerful medicine available today, and it is capable of healing your body without side effects. Psalm 107:20 tells us that God sent His Word and healed. Isn't that good to have no side effects? You know, a lot of the medicine that they advertise today, the side effects are worse than if you just, you know, you end up listening. They have to say all of that so they don't get sued. And you end up listening to all that. And you say, well, I think I'd rather keep the disease rather than deal with the side effects. A lot of stuff. But thank God we don't have to have either. Amen. Because we got God's medicine. Amen. It's the most powerful medicine available today, and it is capable of healing your body without side effects. Psalm 107:20 tells us that God sent His Word and healed. According to Isaiah 53:5-6 and 1 Peter 2:24, healing is a fact as far as God is concerned. It belongs to us because healing was in the atonement. Our confession of the Word of God calls for healing, which is already ours, but is not in manifestation in our body. So when we confess the Word of God, we're calling that healing in. We're calling the things that be not as though they were. No, I'm not teaching against doctors or medicine, but don't depend on doctors or medicine alone to keep you healthy. There are some diseases that medical science cannot cure, but if you need a doctor, see a doctor. Many lives are saved every year through medical help. There are medicines today that are beneficial in aiding the body's healing process. If you are taking medicine, mix faith with it. All right, get this now. If you're taking medicine, mix faith with it by saying, I believe, every time you take your medicine, say this, I believe I receive my healing in Jesus' name. Man's medicines will not heal you. When you take your medicine, don't let the devil condemn you and say, well, look at you. I thought you believed the Bible. No, turn it around. And when you take your medicine, say, Lord, thank you that this medication produces the right result in my body, the result that it was created to produce. And in Jesus' name, I believe I receive my healing. When you take your physical medicine. Man's medicines will not heal you, and generally will not keep you from being healed. Yet, there's some medicines today that have so many side effects, they seem to be worse than the disease. So ask some questions and find out what you're taking. Most medicine will help hold down the symptoms while you're applying God's principles concerning healing and health. I don't advocate that you throw your medicine away and rely on confession alone unless the Lord directs you to do so. It takes time to renew your mind and develop faith in your words as well as God's Word. See, did you get that? You have to have faith in your words. Jesus said in Mark 11:23, believe that the things you say will be done. That's faith in your words. Now, ultimately, it's your faith in God, but you're believing that the things you say will be done. Right? Okay. And it takes time to develop faith in your words as well as God's Word. But the things you are continually confessing eventually become a part of you. It is true, God has provided healing for us through His Word, but we must learn to appropriate that healing by making the Word a part of our daily vocabulary. I believe by being taught properly and by practicing your faith, you can grow to a point where it will be a common thing for you to receive healing through the Word of God. But it doesn't happen overnight. It takes time to develop your faith. So if you have a life or death situation where the doctors say if you don't have an operation immediately, you will die. In other words, the disease has a head start on your faith. My advice would be to have the operation and believe God for a quick recovery. Use some common sense and don't do foolish things through spiritual pride and call it faith. It takes time to develop faith to operate in these principles. So don't let anyone put you under condemnation for going to doctors or having an operation. In other words, operate on your level of faith, but don't stay on that level forever. Continue in God's Word until you develop faith in the healing power of God's Word. Amen. Praise God. Doesn't that bless you? Amen. God wants us well. God's for us. Amen. God wants you well. If we need to use medicine, then use the medicine. If we need to make some adjustments in our diet or what we're drinking or eating or things like that, then make those adjustments. Amen. Barbara's helped a whole lot of people in that area. That's her. That's one of her areas of expertise, and she's blessed a lot of people that way. And this is not necessarily an advertisement for Barbara, but take that however you want it as well. She can give you some good advice probably. But God wants you well. Amen. God wants you healthy. It's His will. All of that. And again, all of that, the foundation of this is knowing, hey, God wants me well. I mean, if it's God's will for you to be sick, what are you doing taking medicine or going to the doctor anyway? You're getting out of the will of God if He wants you to stay sick. Right? The foundation is God wants us well. Let's make it personal. Amen. I believe I receive my healing. In fact, let's do this. Stand up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. I'm going to lead you in a confession of receiving Jesus as your healer. How about that? How about that? Amen. Make this confession. Hold one hand up toward heaven. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that I'm your child. I'm in the family of God. Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. And today, March the 10th, 2024, I receive Jesus Christ as my healer. Just as I received Him as my Savior, today I receive Him as my healer. I belong to God. I belong to you, Lord Jesus. And you are my healer. You took my infirmities. You bore my sicknesses. With your stripes, I was healed. You paid for my healing. Just as you paid for my salvation from sin. And so today, I receive you as my healer. Thank you, Lord. I make it personal. I don't just believe in healing, but I take you as my healer. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God.